Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, Blog Talk family. This is the Antique Show, and this is your host, Leslie Gist Etheridge. And I also have on the line today Miss Yvette Jordan, the extraordinary teacher from Newark, New Jersey, history teacher. And we have a special guest today, Mr. R. Lee Gordon. Mr. Gordon, are you on the line? Hello, Mr. Gordon.
Hello, everyone. How's everybody doing tonight?
I'm doing great. It's a rainy day, but there's sunshine now that you're here on the air with us. I'm going to also introduce you to Miss Yvette Jordan. Yvette, are you there? Okay, I guess Yvette hasn't joined in with us yet. I'll put her back on. Okay, Mr. Gordon, when I heard about one of your initiatives that you're involved with, the Million Father March, I was so excited to have you as a guest on the show. because I like what the Million Man March stood for. And when you explain what the Million Father March was or is, I was more excited about the Father March than I was the Million Man March. Could you explain to the audience
what Yes. The Million Father March is more an initiative than an event that encourages men in our communities, be they fathers, stepfathers, foster dads, grandfathers, uncles, brothers, godfathers, cousins, every male in our community, to take a child or children to the first day of school.
Okay.
And in that initiative, we would like these men to pledge greater parent slash community slash youth or student involvement throughout the school year so that we use it as an impetus to see more A's on more report cards the last day of school.
Excellent. Now, what is the history of this program?
Well, the Million Father March was started by a wonderful man, Philip Jackson, out of the Black Star Project in Chicago, as a way to accomplish what we just discussed, how we understand that when men are involved in the educational lives of their children, we can promote more academic successes.
Right.
And so, you know, this was something that my nonprofit, the Better Detroit Youth Movement, really saw as a way to galvanize our community, to create, again, greater levels of parent and student involvement so that the end result would, again, to promote more positive outcomes for more children.
All right. Okay. We had a few calls online already. Let me see who this is at 926. If you don't have a question, you just want to listen, you can just ignore me when I say hello. Hello, 926. Do you have a question or you just want to listen in? Okay. All right. So that is how you explained the Million Father March. How many years has it been in existence?
That's a good question. I'd have to check blackstarproject.org to tell you, but I do know that it's been in existence for at least the last few years. I would suspect about 3 to 5 years, but don't hold me to that. Again, I encourage our listeners to go to www.blackstarproject.org to learn more about that program, as well as some of the other work that that group is involved with, because they're doing incredible things with our community and children every day.
And you said they're based out of Chicago?
That's correct.
Okay. Now, Mr. Gordon, would you be so kind to explain to us one of your very first projects that you started?
Which one?
The very first one. I'm starting from your history. This is a show of history, so I like to start off with the beginning of my guests' careers.
Okay. Well, I guess the first major initiative that I've been involved with relative to looking at ways that we can begin to uplift the quality of learning for our children is Unity Design, which is a Black youth enrichment enterprise that I started about 3 years ago and that has programs and products that are designed to uplift our children and to inspire our souls through greater community and youth activism.
Okay, give me an example of one of the most popular or effective projects you have within that program.
Okay, well, one of the things that I do is I produce RBG or red, black, and green T-shirts through Unity Design. And as you probably know, being a history buff or even a historian, I've looked at some of your information. RBG were colors that were introduced by Marcus Garvey in 1920 in Madison Square Garden, New York City, as the flag for the United Negro Improvement Association. And I would suggest that the colors red, black, and green, or RBG as they're more popularly referred to today, are symbols of one people, one planet, are symbols of how important it is for us to work together for a greater good in the uplift of all black people, whether in the United States or beyond.
Great. So how does the children get in? How did you recruit the students?
Well, students are always youth. And I would like to think, despite some of the statistics, that when you say youth, we are talking about students and we are talking about the same thing. I truly believe that if we're going to alter the course of our future, it really has to be through our children and the work that we do for and with our children. And so I know when I put a Unity, an RBG design T-shirt on a black child, she or he becomes empowered, because we want to use these colors of our culture to connect our children with their rich history, heritage, and culture. I often suggest that a lot of black children don't know where they come from. We know that, unfortunately, we are dealing with a society and education system that focuses on teaching our children about George Washington but tends to neglect George Washington Carver. And so I truly believe that it's important our children understand where we come from and what we've overcome as a people, so that we can spur higher levels of self-identity, self-esteem, and achievement.
All right. So your Unity shirts, can you give us an idea of how your shirts are created? Do you have a manufacturing plant? You know, if we were to your shop.
I patronize black silk screeners. I believe that a lot of the challenges we face our people are rooted in economics. Having just moved back to New York City, my hometown, from Detroit, where I've been for the last 20 or 25 years, I walked down Fulton Street, which is a very popular shopping area in downtown Brooklyn, New York, and all of the stores on Fulton Street are owned by other color and culture of people than our own. And so, you know, we need to support each other economically so that we're always considered to be the greatest spenders or spending group, but we're not the producer. We need to start producing. And that is all, again, a matter of economics.
All right, so... Well, do you want to give one of the shops that you use, the silk screeners, some free publicity, which is,
Okay. I work with a wonderful brother by the name of Jacob Bailey out of Detroit, and the name of his company is JB Sportswear, and he helps me to produce my T-shirts. I would encourage your listeners to visit Unity Design. That's Unity spelled with two E's. UNITEE Design, DESIGN.com, to learn about my products, which are, again, products of purpose, as well as some of the programs that we've incorporated to, again, create higher levels of awareness, dialogue, but more so to encourage activism. Because I truly believe, Leslie, that we have all of the resources to improve and enrich the quality of learning for our children, but we have to actively apply and supply them.
So was there an epiphany that you experienced when you decided to start this this program or your company?
Well, there was more of a strategy, I guess. My contention is that these colors, RBG, were again our symbols of progress, our symbols of unity, our symbols of one people. And our symbols of progress. And it dawned on me at some point that the only time you see RBG is if we're in crisis. If there's a negative situation, i.e. Gina 6 in Louisiana, where you see people pull out these RBG flags, okay, mm-hmm. which, again, are our colors of pride and progress. The other thing was, from a business standpoint, I went online to find some RBG apparel, and the only thing I could find was RBG wristbands that were actually manufactured in Hong Kong.
Okay.
And so it seems like we've lost our colors. And I think in the losing of our colors, we've lost our sense of identity. We've lost our sense of unity. And so my contention was to start a company called Unity Design, because by and large, that's what I would like to think that my calling is, to look at ways we can design unity to uplift our children and community, and to make more readily available our colors of culture and products that represented us.
Now, you said this company was spurred through your love of Marcus Garvey. Do you want to just educate our listeners, especially the youth, you know, if you can sum it up within about 5 or 6 sentences, what Marcus Garvey really means to you and your company?
Well, Marcus Garvey was a visionary, and he had a beautiful vision for all of us. He understood that our greatest strength and asset is one another. He understood that we could no longer be an economic power or people with power if we didn't begin to leverage our unity, if we didn't begin to create our own economic machine to have more as a people. Because my contention is that we still need to look at how we can have more as a people, so that we can not only do more for our own people and our own communities and our own children, but we'd also be in a better position to do things with other colors and culture. And so...
Where was he from?
He was from Jamaica.
Okay. All right. So do you have any other biographical information about Marcus Garvey? If a child was listening to the show and they have to write a paper on Marcus Garvey,
yeah, I think that's an assignment we should give the kids. I think the children should talk a little bit more about not just who Marcus Garvey is, but what he stood for, and why it's so important today that we not only again stand on the shoulders of our ancestors, especially great leaders like Marcus Garvey, but why it's so important today that we begin to embrace and implement some of the things that they stood for, if we hope to build a brighter people and planet.
Now, does your T-shirts include images of black historical figures and people like Marcus Garvey?
No, not at this point. I want to actually produce a shirt with Marcus Garvey's image on it, and at some point I will. But one of the things that I'm really very adamant about, Leslie, is that I believe that we need to specifically help our children to find or define a purpose in life. And there's something I call the 3 P's. I believe that if we help our children to define or find purpose, I'm talking about something that's positive and productive and constructive, okay, something to aspire towards in terms of their achievement and successes. If we give a child purpose, they become proud and powerful. So one of my shirts is something I call the 3P that incorporates the words pride, power, and purpose. Everyone who buys a Unity from me gets a wristband, a red, black, and green wristband embossed with the words pride, power, and purpose. And so it's not only important that we instill purpose that will, again, manifest pride and power in our children, because what happens when a child does have positive purpose, they become proud and powerful. They can begin to change their own communities. They can break cycles. They can be whatever they want to be. If we instill that belief in our children, then, again, we can create a better future right now.
Okay, well, you sound like you're an educator. What is your profession besides being an entrepreneur with the Unity company?
I consider myself to be a community organizer. I have a background in journalism. I have a background in strategic business development. In a past life, I made billions of dollars for, dare I say, greedy entrepreneurs out of Detroit. And so one of the things that I try to do today, because I truly believe it's my calling, is to look at how I can use some of my business skills and communication skills to design unity, to keep our eyes on the prize relative to our children. one of the lines I often use is that our children may be the only ones to save us, because we as an adult population have become so fragmented and so selfish, and we all tend to covet the seed that may have been what put our kids through college, or maybe what keeps a roof over our head or a Cadillac in the garage. But until we start embracing the ideology and the philosophy that if we drop that seed, we can grow a vegetable garden, we can grow a community garden, we can feed not only ourselves, but we can feed others. And so it's so important that we start really looking at ways that we can discuss and deliver more achievement and successes to our youth. And
now,
so that's
do you have any examples of any stories you want to share with the audience about some of the most positive impacts your Unity, the company, has had on the organization, in the community, or anybody that you've been working with?
Yeah, you know, my thing is always it comes down to kids. And so I know that when I have an opportunity to talk to children, and I have spoke to probably thousands of children on behalf of Unity Design and in Detroit, I know that when I can talk to children about what Unity Design is all about and what the RGB colors mean, and when I put a Unity on a child, I can literally see transform to a greater sense of pride, a greater sense of power. And, you know, it's heartwarming for me. It's encouraging for me because I've spent a lot of money selling T-shirts. That's not what my God wants me to do. That's not what my faith wants me to do. But I truly believe that my faith will feed every bird its food. He may not always throw it in the nest. And so my thing is, again, to look at how we as communities and as a people and as a country can really start to uplift the quality of learning for our children, because the bottom line is our education system is failing too many of our kids. And
now, are you going to design a shirt based around the Million Father March? Because I would love to purchase that shirt.
If Philip allows me to do so, again, it's not my event name, but I'd be happy to talk about the National Black Teen Empowerment Expo.
Well,
which
that's
is...
where we were going next. We were going to end this segment and
okay.
talk about the National Teen Empowerment Network. Go ahead, Mr. R. Lee Gordon.
Okay. Thank you again, Leslie. The reason I moved from Detroit back home to New York City, and specifically Brooklyn, New York, is because I want to organize and host the first National Black Teen Empowerment Expo in New York City next August 2010. And there are two primary goals of this event. One, we want to do a better job of connecting individuals and groups within New York City to one another. And then we want to use the expo as a forum, if you will, to bring these resources under one roof and connect them to our children.
Okay.
My belief is that a child will more likely fall on a negative path if we don't put positive things for him or her on their roads. And so for me to prove that Black America has all of the resources to uplift the quality of learning and living for our children, I have to be able to put that national spotlight on every street corner where our children are. I have to be able to find the resources in every community and, again, connect them to our children so that we can create more positive outcomes for our children.
Okay.
That's specifically what the expo is all about. But it's not really an event, because, again, it's about connecting our resources and connecting our children to them and then finding consistent, productive, positive activities and initiatives that we can use to keep our children on the right path long after
right.
the event goes.
Would you like to use this forum to show some gratification towards some of the people who have been supporting your Teen Empowerment Expo?
Sure. Well, you know what? I would be here for the next 3 hours if I were to do that, because there are probably 400 groups and individuals around the country who have indicated an interest in either supporting or participating in this event. Okay. Some of the primary ones are Michael West of the Black Economic Advocacy Political Party. One of the things we will also do at the expo is encourage our teens to better understand how politics and economics means power. And so Brother West is actually part of my education subcommittee. He is a school teacher as well. I know that you are, Leslie. He is a school teacher here in New York City, and he is developing economics and political workshops for participating expo teens so that they can be more influential citizens who can command change in their own communities by better understanding how politics and economics work.
Well, we have a caller on the line. I don't know if you have a question or not, caller, 313, but you're welcome to ask Mr. R. Lee Gordon a question about his Teen Empowerment Expo and the Black Father, I mean, the Father, Million Father March. Do you have a question or comment? Okay. I'll put you back on mute. All right. Sorry, Mr. Gordon. Some people call in and they don't want to say anything. But let's continue with your Teen Expo, Empowerment.
Okay.
Could you say the name correctly for our listeners?
It is the National Black Teen Empowerment Expo. You can visit www.n as in national, B as in black, T as in teen, E as in expo.org to get more information about this event. That I again want our listeners to truly understand is not as much about the event as it is about the initiatives that we will be introducing at the expo, okay? We truly believe, again, that by using short films, by using peer-to-peer empowerment, by using workshops that don't just address some of just the mind, but also body, health, nutrition, and also soul and spirit, we can, again, begin to transform our teens into kings and queens.
All right. So what could you give us an example or just give us a vision of what we would expect to see once we enter into the expo next year?
Well, one of the things that I'm really excited about is some lessons that I learned from my work with the Better Detroit Youth Movement. We developed a program called FAME, and FAME stands for Fashion, Art, Music, and Education. And the reason that is so important and powerful is that to teach a child, or specifically a teenager, you need to reach him or her first. And so what we do is we create performance pieces infusing elements of fashion, elements of art, and elements of music. And so what people will see at the expo will blow them away, because you're going to have youth groups, not only from the New York area, but also beyond, doing performances that combine fashion, art, and music. And, you know, it's so powerful to not only our adults, but also other teens to see how beautiful and talented and gifted and creative our teenagers truly are. And so FAME speaks to that.
Oh, okay. Now, at your website, can anyone join the expo if you have, you know, coaches, any type of community organizers that work with children? Is there
ideally,
a place
that's
they can join?
Yes, they can call me. Let me give my contact information. The best way to reach me is 734-395-3079. I am, again, hoping to connect with as many like-minded individuals and groups throughout New York City and even beyond, because, again, I have about 400 groups and individuals I'm working with on the expo right now. And I want you to be a part of it. Again, if you're not a part of the progress, you're part of the problem. And so we need as many positive-minded individuals and wonderful groups who work with our children and community every day to be a part of the expo.
How has the Boys and Girls Club received you? Or have you even reached out to them?
I have. I know the director of the Harlem Boys and Girls Club here in New York City, and they have indicated their support. But, you know, one of the things I've realized is there are wonderful larger organizations like the Boys and Girls Club, the Urban League, the NAACP. But we also have to pay our respects and props to the smaller groups, the ones who are on the streets with our kids. It could be a church youth group. It could be a homework helper type group.
Well, you can give that group some props right now on the air.
Well,
there's one comes to mind.
Yeah, there's too many of them. There are all kinds of wonderful individuals and groups throughout the country who are doing the work in the schools and on the streets every day.
Right, I understand.
And that's who we really want to embrace, because we have to keep it grassroots. That's what I think some of the larger groups like the Urban Leagues and the NAACP don't seem to understand. You can't be on the 34th floor of a penthouse office building and be connecting with kids. Okay? You got to be on the streets and in the schools where the kids are, like you as a teacher are, Leslie. Okay? We got to be where the kids are to connect with them, to uplift them every day.
Okay?
And so my thing, again, is using the expo as a vehicle to put that national spotlight on the street corners, to use that national spotlight to show more support for these individuals and groups who are working with our kids and for our kids every day.
Okay. All right. So we talked about the march. Can you recap a little bit about the march?
Yes. The Million Father March is an event that encourages men to take a child or children to the first day of school. We know that when men are involved in the educational lives of their children, we will see more academic achievement. We will see more positive outcomes for our students, for our youth. There are Million Father March events taking place not only in Detroit, but throughout the country. And it's important that our men step up and be a part, register for the Million Father March, and more importantly, use it as a pledge to be directly involved in the educational lives of our children every day, so that we see more A's on report cards come the last day of school.
All right. And the website?
If you're in Detroit, please visit betterdetroityouth.org. That's www.betterdetroityouth.org. If you are anywhere outside of Detroit and want to learn more about the Million Father March, please visit blackstarproject.org. That's www.blackstarproject.org. And, you know, I would just like to again suggest that if you are not a part of the progress, you are part of the problem.
All right. And your T-shirts, how can one take a look at your T-shirts and purchase one?
Please visit www.unity, and that's spelled UNITEE, design, DESIGN.com. And if you want more information regarding the expo, please visit www.nbtee.org. If you want to talk to me directly, please call me at 734-395-3079.
And the expo, can we have the name of the expo?
Yep, it's the National Black Teen Empowerment Expo, and we will be hosting the first National Black Teen Empowerment Expo in New York City, August 2010.
All right. Now, we also talked about, behind the scenes, you and I, about different ways that we can reach our children in the classroom.
Mm-hmm.
We have several educators and professors and historians that participate in Antique E-Show, and I was wondering, do you have any information for educators any way that you can assist us? Anything?
Yeah, well, I mean, my thing is this, and you're an educator, correct, Leslie?
Right.
Okay. You know, our teachers are up against a lot these days. Our educators have to deal with a curriculum that isn't necessarily connecting with our children. they have to deal with an administration that is unwilling to try better ways to reach and teach our children. They have to deal with all of the negative influences that media and environment and society and sometimes even family and friends place on our students and on our children and on our youth. And so I commend our teachers. I commend those who are willing to stay in the schools and in the profession and in the poorer communities, because I've recently read a study about how many of our good teachers are leaving the poorer schools to work at richer schools. You know, our teachers are on the front line. And so what we as average citizens or below or above average citizens need to do is we need to look at how we can better support the work that our teachers do. Parents need to be involved in the schools. I'm working with Paula, I forgot her last name, Gans, out of Newark, who is on the National PTA board or whatever they call it, association. You know, when I was a kid a long time ago, there was more parent-student involvement in schools. And, you know, recently I found, I mean, I go to basketball games, Leslie, and there'd be no parents in the stands watching kids play basketball, watching their kids play basketball. And so, you know, we have to start to adopt and adapt by any means necessary mentality to truly empower our youth. We have to support
How would your organization integrate with the school system, or do you even want to?
I do. I want to be as supportive as possible, but, you know, we have to, again, adopt a by-any-means-necessary mentality. So if we can't work with the school, we're going to work with the students. We work with schools in Detroit. FAME is so popular that we're building it into an after-school program to keep kids in school, after school, and off the streets, and so we know we'll keep them more productively engaged and safer by keeping them in school after school, right?
Right. So when you say FAME, Debbie Allen comes to mind. Could you explain to our listeners what FAME is?
Sure. FAME is an acronym for Fashion, Art, Music, and Education. And my premise in developing this program is relatively simple. You, again, have to reach a teenager before you can teach a teenager. If you are a high school teacher, I'm sure that you would confirm that high schoolers are very much about the way that they look. Most high school students probably kiss the mirror twice before they leave the house each morning to go to school.
Okay. All right. Right? Right, you're right.
So fashion becomes very relevant and prevalent to a teenager.
Okay.
We understand that a lot of our schools no longer have funding for music and arts programs. And so now we don't have positive and constructive activities that music and art can demand and instill in our children to create critical thinking, create self-discipline. Again, just give them something to be involved with. And so we want to use FAME, Fashion, Art, Music, Education, as a way to engage our youth, whether it be through fashion, through art, and through music. One of the things that we're doing, again, in Detroit is developing it so that we will be putting on our own FAME events in schools and in neighboring community venues surrounding schools so that we can engage kids positively. Okay?
Okay. We have several callers on the line. I'm just going to let all the callers know that I'm going to open up the lines. If you want to say something, you have a question. We're down to our last 5 minutes. If you have a question for Mr. R. Lee Gordon, you can, and if you don't, oh, they hung up. We have some shy people, Mr. Gordon. This always happens.
Okay, well, that's okay.
The board lights up, and then as soon as I announce that they can say something to the guests, they all hang up. I think that's because you're answering all the questions. And I apologize. I'm going to learn not to do that again.
Okay.
I have a quick question. Are you supportive of school uniforms in public schools?
I'm torn. That's another one of those on-the-fence issues, and let me tell you why. I believe all of us should be able to express our individuality, but at the same time, I do know that there have been some studies that suggest that by kids not necessarily being as concerned with how they look, and more are concerned with what they learn, we can create more positive academic achievement. And so, yes and no. I mean, if we prove over a consistent extended period of time that school uniforms are creating, you know, brighter futures, then, you know, let's do it. A lot of kids are getting their tennis shoes ripped off, right? I don't know if it's still as prevalent as it once was, but kids are dying over clothes.
Right.
There are kids out in California specifically where if you wear the wrong color at the wrong place, your life could be over.
Right.
Okay. So there again, there are pros and cons to that particular topic. Here's a topic that we just talked about. I know we're wrapping up. In Louisiana, the Board of Education in Louisiana just decided to lower the academic standards by introducing a new diploma that creates less emphasis on academics and allows students to instead get what's called a new diploma that focuses more on vocational professions than standard academics.
Okay.
And so I would like to ask you as an educator, what do you think about that?
I think that you can integrate both. I don't think one can exist without the other.
Mm-hmm.
I think the students need a strong communications course and curriculum at a very young age.
Mm-hmm.
And once they reach high school, they should have enough training in the college prep area that when they reach high school, they should be able to choose a trade or
mm-hmm.
even not choose a trade, but start learning some skills which they could use for the present-day technology. I don't think any kid should graduate from high school without knowing how to navigate themselves on a computer, without
right.
knowing how to write a resume or fill out a college application.
Right.
So you need communication skills
mm-hmm.
just to express yourself, no matter if you're going to be a mechanic or if you're going to be a doctor. On
right.
the other hand, because 80% of the students go to work instead of to college, you have to address that 80% of the student body and make sure when they leave high school that they have a viable means of attaining a trade or a job or a profession.
Right.
You know, personally, my students graduate with a professional license. We give them three different opportunities to take three different tests. Either they could be a mobile electronics certified technician, a FCC communications technician,
mm-hmm.
or the third one is a marine radio operator, which is a precept of a FCC license. So, yes, I think that all schools should have a two-track system.
I tend to agree with you. I don't think you lower the academic standards. I think that you offer more opportunities and options to our children, and even, as you suggest, before high school.
Right.
There are some basic standards that all of our children need. There are some basic skills
right.
that all of our children can benefit from. By lowering the academic standards, we're basically suggesting that we're lowering our expectations of our children.
Well,
and so, go ahead.
Well, let me just say this to you, Mr. Gordon. Considering that I've been studying history and specifically education, black education,
mm-hmm.
I'll tell you that there is a new campaign to state that Booker T. Washington's model was backwards. But yet, if you look at George Washington Carver, who you mentioned earlier in the show,
mm-hmm.
they're still using his invention to try to help today's problem out with the gasoline problem.
Mm-hmm.
So I think vocational education did a great deal for this country. I'm from the city of Patterson, the first industrial model city founded by Alexander Hamilton. And if it wasn't for a vocational, which is a very derogatory term, because this is what they've wanted to be, because it's connected to Booker T, who was the father of public education.
Mm.
Public education started out as vocational. And industrial, they call it industrial education.
Mm-hmm.
So because it's rooted in African-American heritage, they're using a negative connotation.
Sure, sure.
And the last thing I'm going to say about that is the academies are all modeled behind Booker T. Washington's philosophy. The new academies that everyone's touting,
mm-hmm.
all of them are using a two-track. You get a license or a certification, and you are taking college prep courses. And that's all because of Booker T. Washington.
Well, that's why it's so important that we need to instill in our children a greater understanding of our history and our heritage, and even some of our adults. I believe you're right. I think that, you know, we need to offer our kids more opportunities and options to be successful. Not every child is made for college, but there's nothing wrong with being the best electrician that you can possibly be. And so if we do a better job of understanding and assessing what each student wants to do and may even be good at an early age, and then empower him or her with those skills in conjunction with basic skills in terms of communication, ability to read and write, and math. And then I would even fortify it with a greater understanding of Black history, heritage, and culture so that, again, we uplift self-identity. We can start to build a better future for our people and planet.
Okay. Well, we'll continue this conversation off the air because our listeners can download this show, and I don't want them to have a lot of our conversation on your recordings, because I try to keep it 40 minutes for school teachers, because I know the school teachers' classes are usually 40 minutes. So
right.
I'm trying to cut the show down to 40 minutes so that they can put the show in and use it. So I'm going to give you a call as soon as we hang up. Thank
Great.
You, everyone, for listening. Don't be shy. When you call up, you know, ask our guests questions. It makes the day and it makes the show go by a lot faster. So have a good night, and I'll see you next Sunday. Bye-bye.